here, and we can. And by the way, for those of you that are online with us right now, you can actually scroll down through these notes. We're going to start up here where I'm going to welcome Mike to the program. And as we get to the bottom of these notes, as we walk through them, you can actually scroll down. Let me show you again. I'm going to share my screen with you so that what it amounts to is you'll be able to see my cursor. Okay, now you should see my cursor on the screen. And you can scroll down by coming over to this bar right here. There's a bar right there. You can actually scroll down on that bar. Now, when you get to the bottom of the page, you go up here and see that number one right there. You can click right there, that arrow right next to it, and that'll take you to page two. And you're able to scroll through the pages with us. So I'm not going to change it here because I want to be looking at the camera, and I got my notes on a computer in front of me, so that I don't get lost in what we're doing here, okay? So let me go ahead and start the recording. Beloved friends, this is Dr. Jim coming to you live from my home in Maumelle, Arkansas. And once again, we have our friend Mike Smith from Country Bible Church, the pastor of Country Bible Church in Brenham, Texas, on with us this morning. And good morning again, Mike.
Good morning, Dr. Jim. How are you doing this morning?
Buddy, I'm doing just fine, and we always start the program by saying that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we're going to open the Word of Truth to an interview with Pastor Mike again this morning. And I've got some questions available for him that relate to the book that he's in the process of writing. And, Mike, we give our folks about 15 seconds to rebound. And I don't know whether I told you this or not, but you know why I only give people 15 seconds? Have I told you that?
I don't believe so.
Well, let me tell you why I only give them 15 seconds to rebound, and hopefully they keep short enough accounts that it doesn't take them longer than that to rebound. But early on, when I first got started in this online teaching, I would stream to a radio station, and the radio station always ran a program that picked me up that sent me out to the internet. And the issue was that if you had a quiet time where there was no sound at all for 15 seconds, the program shut down and he went to the next program thinking you were done. So several times we got our program shut down because we were taking longer to rebound than necessary. So I said, oh, you get 15 seconds to rebound. If you need more time than that, we'll be here when you get back. So what I'm going to do is give our folks 15 seconds to rebound. And, Mike, then if you want to close out in prayer, you just go ahead and do it, and we'll move on with the interview.
Okay. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together today and focus on things that are so important. Of course, you are always in the center, in the middle of it all. We just pray that everything that we say and do this morning will be pleasing in your sight. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. And let's begin with your website again. You've got a website, and I want people to be directed to it to learn more about you and Country Bible Church. So what's your website?
It's www.countrybiblechurch.us. U.S.
Okay, and if someone went out to that website, what are they likely to find when they get there, Mike?
Well, we keep our website up to date, and the current lessons that I'm teaching, which currently is Joshua on Sundays and Getting the Gospel Right on Tuesdays and Thursdays, have audios, current audios.
Okay.
And we have the notes available. We have all my past lessons are on there where you can also get audio of those. There's a search engine on it. All the diagrams and overhead visuals and so forth are on there. It's just a wealth of information. I have a, a red button, a big red button on there for anyone who wants to know what happens to them after they die. They can
okay.
click that red button, and it gives them the gospel. So if anyone is out there witnessing to someone and they give them the website, they can just tell them, hit
wow.
the red button.
Okay.
That's on the homepage.
Okay, listen, Mike, who takes care, who's your webmaster? Do you do that, or do you have someone do that for you?
No, we have actually, I'm not involved in it, but we have some people online
okay.
that we found that update it, and we just get all
oh, okay.
the notes and the audios and upload it to them, and then they put it on the website.
Sure enough. Well, somebody want to get in touch with you by way of email address. Do you have an email address? I'm sorry. Let's say that one more time because apparently you didn't hear me. I said, do you have an email address if someone wanted to get in touch with you? You must not be hearing me. Testing, 1-2. Are you hearing? Are you hearing me, Mike? Hearing me? No. Ed, are you hearing me? If you are, just raise your hand, Ed. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody hearing me?
Now I hear you. Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
My question was, by the way, Father, what we need is to have a great interview here, and we don't need these kind of interruptions. So if it's some kind of a glitch that we need to handle, let us know what it is. Question, Mike. You have an email address if somebody want to get in touch with you?
Yes, it's Mike, M-I-K-E, 44,
mm-hmm.
G-V, as in Greenvine,
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com.
Okay, good. Mike, we've been considering your book, Tolerating Tyranny, and what an amazing booklet that this is going to be if and when you get this thing published. It is, with what is going on in our country today, I will guarantee you that people need to understand what is taking place. And your concept of tolerating tyranny is an amazing insight. And I normally tell people when I'm getting ready to do my program, I run my finger around like this, and I say, folks, let me explain to you. The spiritual spin stops right here. Why? Because we care for you. So we're not going to give this thing a spiritual spin at all, pal. We're just going to give them the truth, and I think that's exactly what's going to come out of your booklet when you get that published. And it's an amazing thing today, Mike. The news media is now trying to decide for us whether or not this guy, the living bomber, needs to be tried as an American citizen, whether he needs to be tried in a military court. They're asking what is the motivation behind this. Listen, it's clear cut as far as I'm concerned, but nevertheless, we're looking at your book one chapter at a time. So let's start. What are your thoughts about the following patriotic slogan? And it should be right there on your screen. America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. What is your thoughts about that slogan?
Well, when people quote these type of slogans, it's good if it's true. But
okay.
I don't believe that it's true anymore. In fact, I have a friend who has reworded that phrase to say, America is the land of the free and the home of the slave.
Oh.
Unfortunately, that has become more appropriate. If people will take off their rose-colored glasses and look at truth, that's hard to do. People really have a hard time doing that in any area of life, but especially
mm-hmm.
when it comes to country.
And yes,
we have the highest incarceration rate. We have more people in prison per capita than any other country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still want to wrap ourselves in the flag and say we're still the home of the brave, the land of the free. I don't see it that way anymore. And it's hard. I don't say that lightly. It's hard to say that.
Mm-hmm.
For people to quote that phrase to feel good about themselves and ignore the facts is a major problem.
Yeah, well, Mike, I teach today that the United States is not found anywhere in Bible prophecy. Would you agree with that, or would you have any concern about that kind of statement? The United States is not found in Bible prophecy anywhere.
No, I don't find it anywhere. And
okay.
It is somewhat disconcerting. Here we are, the superpower, mm-hmm. or at least we
yeah.
historically have been since the country was founded,
mm-hmm.
front and center on stage of history, and yet we're not even mentioned. So,
yeah.
of course, that causes one to believe that something dreadfully is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
mm-hmm.
know that whether it's going to be an event that is going to take place like in the Soviet Union, where it was
mm-hmm.
its demise came very rapidly,
mm-hmm.
Whether we're
mm-hmm.
going to die 1,000 deaths, just one incremental cut of freedom at a time.
Well, you know, that's exactly, that's what I'm teaching that I believe is happening right now. I talk about a 5-generation slide. Theology, the dispensational hermeneutic was rediscovered, the Pauline dispensationalism back in the mid-1800s. And then it was systematized by Chafer. It was bought into by Schofield. From that generation on, I believe we began to slide away from that truth around 1900 to where we get down into what I call the 5-generation slide away from the absolute truths. And I think that what we see happening in the tyranny from our government and even legalism within the church, we've destroyed the gospel, we've destroyed the Royal Family Honor Code, and the last bastion of hope is freedom, and it's on its way out right now. So the statement that you make also following that about the slogan, you say that you can ignore facts but not the consequences. What do you mean by that?
Well, the American people today are, I think, ignoring the facts because they're very unpleasant.
And okay.
They think that they can continue to ignore God, ignore His Word. They
mm-hmm.
can no longer depend on God for their needs. They go to government. This is a disastrous way to live. And
mm-hmm.
little by little, we're losing more freedom. We are getting less and less independent. And there's going to be a time when the straw that breaks the camel's back is going to
mm-hmm,
have
mm-hmm.
the troubles and our woes come crashing down upon us. And what you uh-huh. said a while ago, I think, is I need to bring something out that I think is important.
Sure, okay,
you
sure.
You mentioned the demise of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Most churches today are not teaching doctrine. I like to say they're playing church. They're just
mm-hmm, yep.
tickling ears and so forth. I think there's
mm-hmm.
a direct correlation between the demise of the church and individual Christians who are not growing up spiritually and the demise of
mm-hmm.
the country. I don't think that they are separate. I think they're linked together.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, let me throw something out to you again as a friend and get you to respond to this. People come to me and they say something like, Jim, can you recommend a seminary in the country today? And I tell them, no, I don't know a seminary in the country. Now, all swans are white until you see a black one, okay? But the truth of the matter is, I don't know a seminary in the country today that I could recommend to send a student to. But the truth of the matter is, I think that the seminary, as far as God's concerned, is the local church, not some school out there somewhere. And as a result of the church failing, I think even our pastors are failing today. So what are your thoughts about seminary and the local church being the teacher?
Well, in the New Testament, they didn't have seminaries unless you want to call when Paul was out on his missionary journeys and he was taking the followers with him. I guess you could say that was a mobile
mm-hmm.
I have to be careful not to say cemetery because
yeah, well, I hear you.
I've heard that before as well. But in other words, it was pastors, local pastors, that were teaching the men in their congregation that had the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. They were training them and preparing them for the pastorate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that all seminaries are bad. But I will say, in our day and time, most of them are useless, and I guess they're bad to the extent to where a lot of them are teaching false doctrine. I think that the only one that I would come close to recommending would be Schaefer Seminary. I think it's located in New Mexico now. It's a very small seminary. I think they have less than a dozen students there. But it's from what I can gather, I know several of the pastors on the board, and they're theologically sound, and they really emphasize the original languages. And so it appears that that might be an alternative for people who, for men who are looking for a seminary. Outside of that, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. I'm feeding back through your speakers.
Okay, I took the headphones off because I couldn't hear you very well. I'll plug them back in.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Do you have feedback now?
I don't have any feedback now. That takes care of it. Matter of fact, my wife just walked in and said she's having trouble hearing you. So I'm not sure what's happening. But let's move on from here. The Schaefer Seminary, I'd forgotten about. But I remember one of the pastors that was at the in the foundation of the Schaefer Seminary wrote a booklet, and it was about the sacred cow, and it had everything to do with who was the final authority in all matters in the local church. And this guy had concluded that it was not the pastor, and he really made a case for the plurality of elders. And so from that time on, I just sort of dismissed Schaefer. But if you're positive toward that seminary, I'll certainly give that some consideration, my friend. Okay.
Well, yeah, even among the pastors that I know, that's they're not all in agreement with regards whether there's a plurality of elders or whether there's the pastor himself is the head of the local church. Mm-hmm. But that. You know, that's not an issue that I would necessarily separate over with the pastors, but I believe that it's the local in a local church that the pastor is the boss. He's the head.
Yes.
Because when it comes to making decisions, you got to have a final say. And if all you have is committee and they're squabbling and there's, I think God designed it just as in all things, there's one person where the buck stops, and they take responsibility. And I think in the local church, that's the pastor.
Yeah, well, in 1975, when I organized the Bible Doctrine Church of Little Rock as an independent non-denominational church, I left the denomination because I wasn't in charge of anything. And after I organized the Bible Doctrine Church, I was accused of being a dictator. And when people would say to me, but you know, you're a dictator, I look straight in the eye and tell them, you're right, you're absolutely correct. I am a dictator, but I am a benevolent dictator, and there's a whole lot of difference between that and being a tyrant, and I'm not a tyrant. So let's move on from there. In the introduction of your book, do you believe it's impolite to talk about politics and religion because someone might be offended?
Well, of course, I think we should always use discernment. Knowing that there's a right time and a right place for everything. We can't afford not to discuss the issues we're talking about here, politics and religion, because they're so important. I think we should keep an open mind as well as discuss possible solutions, but we can't solve our problems if we don't talk about them. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We've probably been in situations where people would try to cut you off if you start talking about Jesus Christ or the Bible or anything like that. And I don't like to talk about religion. And when people tell me that, I said, I'm not talking about religion.
Hello.
I'm talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think about him? And some people just will cut you off, and they do the same. And when I say politics, I'm not talking about Democrat or Republican. I'm talking about the political situation of our country. I'm talking about our government and what's happening to this country. That's what I'm talking about. And a lot of people, they just don't like to talk about anything that is what they consider controversial.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't start talking about these issues, if we don't start reasoning together and trying to find a solution, then problems aren't going to be solved. They're just going to continue to get worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think I just mentioned earlier that I think that in terms of the three categories of truth, the four divine institutions and the gospel and what I refer to as the Royal Family Honor Code, the Mystery Doctrine of the Church Age, the Protocol Plan of God, however you want to call that. Again, I think the church has destroyed the Royal Family Honor Code. They've destroyed the gospel, and the last bastion of hope is freedom. And the government, I believe, is, and maybe on all levels, whether it's the federal, the state, or the local government, is destroying the concept of freedom. The church has destroyed freedom in terms of legalism. What do you think, Mike, is the purpose of government? What is government's purpose?
Well, the main purpose for government is to protect the people's rights. We have God-given rights that don't come from the government, and that is its main purpose, and to administer justice to anyone who would invade our privacy, our property, our freedom. And that's what I see as the main purpose of government. It's not to solve problems, it's not to get involved in all the things it's doing today. It's not back to just the government doing what it was designed to do. I think a lot of changes for good would happen.
Where do you find the basis for what the government is doing? Where is this? Is this coming out of some history book? Out of some science book? Is it, where do you find, or where should we go to look to find what the responsibility of government is? Where do we find that?
Well, a good place to turn to would be the Declaration of Independence.
Okay. Okay.
That's the most fundamental and sacred, if you want to call it sacred, document that this country was founded on.
Keep going, Mike.
Okay. And in the body of that, the Declaration of Independence says that we were all created equal. And that we have the rights of liberty and freedom and justice.
Mm-hmm.
And government was created for the purpose of protecting those rights. In fact, towards the end, it says anytime the government ceases to function in the parameters that were set for it, in other words, whenever it stops protecting our rights, infringes on those rights, then we not only have the right, we have the duty to throw off such a government and create another one that is more to our liking.
So, in other words, do you think that we're even close to that time right now?
I don't know where the tipping point is, to use an analogy that so many news media people speak about today. But if we're not there, I think we're critically close to it. What do you think?
Let me ask this then, because I like that answer. You're not quite sure where the tipping point is. Do you think that when the tipping point comes and arrives, that we'll be able to recognize it?
I think some will and some won't. I believe that we're going to have more of the same type of things that happened in Boston, and it's going to give the government more reason, at least in their eyes, to make this more of a police state. And when that occurs, it's going to dawn on people who have been wrapping themselves in the flag, like I said earlier, with blinders on.
Sure.
When it gets to be so pressing, there are going to be people out there, and I think that are going to recognize. And I think that's happening more and more as time goes by. That people are realizing something is dreadfully wrong. I don't know that they know exactly how to articulate it, and they don't know exactly what it, they can't put their finger on it, but mm-hmm. they know that, that things are getting worse, and that they're not getting better. A lot of Christians want to do whatever is biblically correct, but they don't know what that is because they haven't been trained. They haven't been taught by their pastors, and certainly not in the schools. So there's a lot of people who are confused and they're disgruntled, and
mm-hmm.
that just, I think, will continue to simmer and eventually will boil over someday.
Yeah, are you aware of the shots fired yesterday at the Denver pot party, about 80,000 people, and celebrating the release of marijuana, where you can smoke marijuana now recreationally? And are you aware of the fact that I think it was 5 people got shot in Seattle, Washington last night?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Well, that's all happened since the Boston Marathon bombing. It's happening all over the world, all over the United States. And I can't help but believe that this is God speaking pretty loudly. I used to hear the Colonel talk about the Holy Spirit knocking on your door and how hard he's got to knock when you've got all this scar tissue on your soul. The more scar tissue you have, the louder he's got to knock. And I think he's knocking pretty hard right now. Well, when I ask you, you know, what the about the purpose of government and where we might find that, you indicated in the Declaration of Independence. It's your program.
Okay, this I'm looking at the Declaration of Independence. This is I want to get it word for word. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that mm-hmm. they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, mm-hmm. that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, mm-hmm. that to secure those rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed." So there you have it right there,
yes.
Purpose of government. To secure these rights, governments are instituted.
Yeah, but you know, here's what I hear from people, and I have a tendency to agree with this, and so I'd like maybe your comments about your thoughts. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States are important documents for us, but the Declaration of Independence is an historical document. It has no legal authority. It's the Constitution that is the basis for our law. It's the highest form of law. And I just maybe, if that's a new concept or a new thought, I don't want to spring that on you. But I'm aware of the fact that the Declaration of Independence is a historical document. It has no basis of authority. It just declares some things that are truthful for us. But it's the Constitution that's the highest form of law in our land. Or would you agree with that, or would you have some problems with it?
No, I think what you're saying is true, but the Declaration of Independence is a guideline mm-hmm. for us to see what this Constitution was founded upon.
Yeah.
In other words, these principles, that, in fact, when Jefferson wrote this, and he said that we have unalienable rights, and they were given to us by our Creator. That set the world upside down.
Yes.
Because prior to that time, all you had essentially was the divine right of kings, and people believed that you had to submit unconditionally to kings, that he had the right straight from God, and whatever he said, you must do.
Mm-hmm.
And when these colonists had subscribed to what Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, it was astounding. It hadn't happened before. And so what I'm saying is, though, even though that doesn't have any, maybe isn't legally binding as the Constitution is, what I'm saying is that is what the people who wrote the Constitution believe. That was
mm-hmm, yeah.
the foundation of it. So I don't think mm-hmm. it's something that we can ignore. I think it's something that is an idea. It's a thought mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. fought for. That's what the First War of Independence was all about, is that principle. And, mm-hmm. of course, the Constitution, you get into the nuts and bolts of how to administer mm-hmm. government.
Yeah.
Everything
mm-hmm.
that they were doing, I won't say everything, but a lot of what they were doing was promulgated from this thought that's presented in the Declaration.
Sure. I agreed. Well, Mike, do you believe it's unpatriotic to criticize our Congress or President, no matter how many unconstitutional laws and unprecedented restraints they impose on the people?
Well, I'd have to answer that by saying the time in which we live and considering our Congress, I think it would be unpatriotic not to criticize them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's. Do you want to make any other comments about that? Because that was. I mean, that's a straightforward answer, brother. And I was. I don't know that I was looking for a longer answer, but that gets right to the point.
When we get to about criticizing the Congress, criticizing the government, I think that we'll get further into that with some of the other questions that we're coming to. But people are hesitant to criticize the government because they have elevated the government to God's status. Many have.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that would dare criticize the Congress and the deplorable things that they're doing, they see as an attack on our country, and that they would mm-hmm. maybe even accuse you of being a traitor because you're not celebrating. You're not just you're not seeing the government as a person as God would be. In other words,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to put into words. It's that they have a different concept of government. They don't
sure.
see that there's a distinction between government and the country. I think that the country is made up of the land and the people on it, and the government simply administers the affairs that's been delegated to it. So a lot of people, they don't make that distinction, and they think that you're demeaning and you're unpatriotic mm-hmm. to criticize government because I don't think they see government in its proper perspective, in its right role.
Well, what if someone said to you, like I've heard said to me on many occasions, you probably have too, when you begin to criticize the government, you begin to criticize the president, and people look at you as through their Christian eyes and say, "Well, you know what the Bible says?" And I say, "Well, yeah, but what are you talking about?" And they say, "Well, you know it says, 'Judge not, that you be not judged.'" Well, how would you handle that, Mike?
Well, That scripture in Matthew is not talking about making discernments. We all have to make
mm-hmm.
judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not to judge the person, but we do have to determine whether we want to even associate with a person or not. That's a judgment call.
Sure.
And it's just the same thing with government. We have to use the intellect, the reason, the brains that God has given us, and make determinations in order to follow him. If we're not
sure.
making judgments, if we're not using discernment, we can't even follow him. So some people are so legalistic and they're so hypersensitive that anytime you say anything that is dogmatic, if you say anything that they construe as being contrary to the praise that the government is due, then what they're going to do is lash out on you and say, you're just judgmental. You're just judging.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, no, what I'm doing is making the judgments and discernment that I must make in order to be a good servant of God and to follow him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when people make that statement to me, and Mike, over the years, if I've heard that one time, judge not, thee be not judged, I say, excuse me, why don't you read on, brother? And he said, what do you mean, read on? I said, well, you know, once you get the beam out of your own eye, when you get the beam out of your own eye, you have every right to discern, to criticize, to judge another person. How in the world, if you read on, brother, when I want to say this, how do you handle the idea that you're going to have to handle this idea of the dogs and the swine in that same verse, in the same passage, down to about verse 6? So I just wondered, you've answered the question the same way I would, Mike. I think that you've indicated that to tell somebody that you can't judge somebody else, I think that's horrendous, and it doesn't come out of the Bible. That's a human viewpoint idea. But
I think that We're not to set ourselves up as a judge that we're better than anyone else and we have the right to judge them.
That's right.
That doesn't mean that we are not allowed. In fact, I think we are commanded to make those kind of judgments. Some people put it this way. They say when someone is in sin, let's say it's a homosexual, they would say what we do, we have the right to judge homosexuality as being repugnant to God and it's a sin. But we don't judge the person themselves. We judge the sin. Have you ever heard it put that way?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. And I have a little trouble with that, but I have heard that. I've heard that many times. And I guess my greatest concern about that is that when I criticize our president, Barack Obama, I have been told you shouldn't criticize him, criticize what he believes. But if the proverb indicates to me that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, I have a hard time separating what a person thinks with who they are, whether they're thinking right or thinking wrong, but especially if they're thinking bad, I'm not just going to criticize the I think I have a right to criticize Barack Obama for what he thinks, even though someone would say, you know, criticize what they think, don't criticize the man. I have a hard time separating the two, but I do understand that.
I agree. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. What I meant to say is that we're not to look at other people and judge them in the way that God judges them in order to either discipline them or whatever. That's not our place. But
sure.
You can't separate the deeds from the person. I mean, when you get to, like you say, our president, you're either going to accept him or reject him based on what he thinks. But you're not just rejecting what he thinks. You got to you reject them as well. For instance,
sure.
A moment ago I said something about homosexuals. What some people might think, okay, well, if you're not judging the person, you're just judging that homosexuality is wrong. You can still have fellowship with them. You accept them for what they for who they are, and reject them for what they believe. I don't think you can do that. You said, you are what you think. And when someone is into a lifestyle of that sort, and demands that we accept it and God accept it as well, I think the scriptures impose upon us the responsibility to separate from that person, not just from their thoughts, but from that person. So I don't know if that kind of explains it.
Sure. Well, Mike, and let's move on from there. You've quoted John Eidsmo, and we've indicated we both know him personally. It's not as though we're bosom buddies, but we know and have met personally John Eidsmo. And you've quoted him where he made the following comment. And what I'd like for you to do you have your notes in front of you? Do you have the notes that I sent you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, listen, take that quote where it is possible for love, read that quote, and then make any comment you want about it, because it's a part of your book, and I think that you believe this, so why don't you read the comment, and then just make comment about it as you go.
Okay. The quote is from John Eidsmo from the book God and Caesar, Biblical Faith and Political Action. He said, it is possible for love of country to take the place of love for God. The flag should symbolize God's love for America, but it is possible to get so wrapped up in the flag that we can no longer see God. When that happens, we have rejected the Christian view of patriotism and have embraced the pagan view of the state, that the state is God. Misguided patriotism can also blind us to our country's shortcomings in that it can stifle criticism and cause us to regard dissent as unpatriotic, but that's not true patriotism. Now, what I would say about that is that people have grown so accustomed to going to government to solve their problems rather than to God. It doesn't matter what your problem may be, government can help. That's the idea that a lot of people have. We've got an answer for everything. We've got so many of these programs, and we have so many people and so forth. But government's job is not to help us with our problems. And that's a newsflash to a lot of people.
Yes.
The job is to protect our freedom so that we can solve our own problems. And the truth is, really, that government is the problem now. I think some people consider criticism of government to be running down our country, but like I said before, that's not true. They don't make a distinction between the government and country. Again, I believe that the people and the land are the country, and the government just administers the affairs that's been delegated to it.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. What I was going to, I thought maybe you're stopping. I was going to ask you this. In terms then of what government is doing for us, I think until pastors, like people like you and me, are willing to stand in the pulpit and declare what is taking place out here in society that the government is doing wrong, can you suggest anything to us right now where the government has overstepped its bounds and is doing for us really what we should be doing for ourselves? If you had the right and the privilege to come in and just cut certain things out of government doings, what would you eliminate that you feel like that the government's involved in that shouldn't be involved in at all? Can you help us with some of those?
Oh, yeah, well, several things. First of all, I don't think the government has any place in educating our children. I think that's the responsibility of the parents. When we have these disasters like Katrina, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a mudslide in California.
Sure.
It could be a fire. It could be a flood. It doesn't matter what it is. The first thing that happens is the governor declares it an emergency, and the federal government, FEMA, and all that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And when the government steps in to do these things, which is a big bureaucratic mess a lot of times, but when they step in, the people step out. And some may disagree with me on this, but I don't believe it's the government's place to come in there and do that. Traditionally, what happened is the local community itself got together and did what they could. Then people from their own state would come in, and they would help private industry, and there are charitable organizations that come in. And but now that doesn't take place because the government comes in, and the government comes in and spends a lot of money, and they throw billions of dollars into this area. Well, where does that money come from? It comes from us. And it's not that we are unkind or the uncaring, but whenever the government comes in and does those type of things, it's always controls. For instance, I know when they during Katrina, the government came in and took rifles and guns away from the landowners so that they couldn't even protect themselves against the danger of looting and so forth. Those are the kind of things that go along with the government stepping in when it should be the people's job to take care of other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've mentioned one area, and I agree wholeheartedly with this idea of education. As a matter of fact, I think in the booklet Who Killed Excellence, and I would encourage everybody listening to go out to the internet, Google Who Killed Excellence, download that file into your computer and read through it to find out how we've gone about dumbing down our society to the point where, you know, we're not even able to reason anymore. At least most are not able to reason, and they're looking to government for that kind of a handout. So education is one area. Do you have even one more? Anything at all out there? Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security? What about?
At least 85% of what the government does, they have no constitutional right to do it. Even look at the foreign aid that goes out in the billions and probably over a period of time in the trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
There's no constitutional authority to do that. Like you said, Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, all these things are the government trying to solve the problem for people. And I'm going to go back to the schools for just a moment.
Sure, do it.
The way that that the government got into that is that it started offering money to the schools for different programs and things, and they bought it. They took the bait.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
What they didn't realize is that wherever money government money goes, government control follows. And that's mm-hmm. what happened, is everywhere the government goes and they spend money, the control follows. And so little incrementally over a period of time, more and more control. And then once the schools, and it goes, it's the same thing with the people, once the people get used to the government goal, getting that money, mm-hmm. then the government mm-hmm. has control because they depend on it rather than depending upon themselves.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And this has been the principle behind the government control in just about every area. And now, since we're no longer abiding by the Constitution, it's just a relic that's been swept into the dustbin of history for the most part, openly mocked by many congressmen and senators. Because we're not adhering to the Constitution anymore, what's happening is everybody wants their place at the feed trough.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and our country is no longer... It's not independent. You don't have that self-sufficiency in the mentality of most people because they've taken the dole, they've taken the bait mm-hmm. that's offered from government, and now we have all these untold numbers of programs and departments and unnecessary things. The people need to be taking care of this themselves. The government needs to get out of the lives of the people and allow the people to take care of themselves and take mm-hmm. care of their neighbors, take care of their family. That's the way we can do it. Some people will say, oh, well, we're too big, we're too sophisticated. No, these principles never change. That's what this country was founded on,
yeah.
that independent spirit, and now it's gone. It's just dependence on government, and government with the Federal Reserve can get, they get money out of thin air, and they'll give you anything that you want just to continue to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of like a rant, but...
Let me put it this way. Yeah, it is a rant, but it's one that's needed, and that's the problem today. I don't think enough people are ranting, and those who are not doing it in a medium where they can be, where they're actually heard. Mike, is why I've gone to the internet, because I know that the internet is a viable option for us today, and I would hate to think that my ranting is only at the kitchen table to my wife and my daughter. I want the world to hear what we're hearing, my brother. So let's go on from there. Read the next comment and make comments about it. Read the following comment.
Okay.
Who is the patriot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who is the true patriot, the one who defends the oppressive acts of their government or one who speaks out against it? Who is the traitor, the one who refuses to submit to unconstitutional laws or the one who breaks his oath to the Constitution in passing those laws? Well, of
mm-hmm.
course, the answer to those is pretty clear. But I would say a true patriot doesn't obey every law without question. He doesn't hesitate to hold those who have been entrusted with the responsibility to represent the people accountable for their actions. In other words, that's what slaves do. They obey everything
mm-hmm,
without
mm-hmm.
question because they have no rights, and they would never question the motives or the actions of their masters. But if we're not slaves and we do have these rights, then this is what a true patriot does. This is what must be done in order to maintain freedom. Most of those in Congress would be tried for treason if the people held them accountable for their unconstitutional actions. Wouldn't you agree to that?
Absolutely.
Defending government officials who defy the Constitution and who ignore the rights of the people, who invade their privacy and are egotistical liars and are not patriots. These people are not patriots. Voting them back into office time after time after time borders on insanity or maybe
mm-hmm.
masochism. And yet, you know, this is what takes place.
Yeah. Well, if you look down the list of people that are online with us right now, in terms of what you just said, you talked about who the true patriot is, who the traitor is. how would you encourage, or what would you encourage anyone who's online with us right now, live, and those thousands, really, that will be online with us by way of downloading off of iTunes, what would you say to them in terms of what they need to be doing if they're not doing it already? What would you encourage them to do? Otherwise, we got two pastors here every Monday sitting around ranting about how bad things are out here, and we seem to be doing our thing about this, but what can somebody else do, Mike? What can these folks do that are online with us and will be hearing you later on iTunes?
Well, the first thing I would say is to pray. That's the number one thing. That should precede all of our actions anyway. But we need to pray. We need to keep informed ourselves. Then we need to be bold in order to challenge other people on issues rather than just hearing the nightly news and adopting their verbiage, their vocabulary, and their ideas. Mm-hmm. Challenge them to think for themselves. Because any time a person today says something dogmatic and it's contrary to the spin that you get on the news, then they look at you like you're outer space. You're a quack. You're one of those conspiracy theorists. And we can't let that in any way slow us down or hinder us. What we have to do is stand for truth. First of all, you have to know the truth. And I don't know a lot of the people on here, but I know several of them. And I know these people know the truth, and they want to to do something. And the first thing they, like I said, is to pray, and then to take opportunities to talk to other people, to help them see something that they're not going to get anywhere else. All they're going to do is get spin. I think challenging them to be independent, freedom-minded people. And that's, there may be other things, but I would say that's immediate things I would suggest to answer your question.
Is there any kind of involvement that they could get involved in? Would you encourage them to be involved in any way? Obviously, they ought to vote. If they don't vote, they ought to just keep quiet. But,
voting, I have a chapter in my book about voting.
Sure.
It has a lot to do with whether you think the system is beyond help. In other words, voting and calling your congressman, these type of things, I'm not saying this is wrong, you shouldn't do it.
I understand.
But people who have been doing that for decades, and it hasn't helped the problem.
You're absolutely right.
It makes people feel good to vote, and they say it's your responsibility. But I think one reason that so many people are not voting is because there's nobody they can put their support behind.
Sure.
They're fed up with the system, and so that's why I'm not suggesting those things, because it's just my own opinion.
I understand.
That the situation with regards to our government it's gone so far to the dark side. I don't know that if it can recover, especially by using the tools that would normally help change the process. Because I've looked at it for decades after decades after decades, and it's the same thing over and over again. I think they take the Republican Democratic paradigm and say the solution is in one of these two parties, and I don't think it is.
Yeah, I understand.
And so going to replace the people that are in office, even if you put your support behind someone you think that you can abide by, once they get in, there's no guarantee that they're going to do anything that they said as a candidate. All we have to do is look at a person in the White House right now is a good example.
Yeah. Well, Mike, many, many months ago, I said to my wife, honey, I'm going to run for Congress. And she said, if you do, you're going to have to commute. So I changed my mind about that. Okay. Go ahead.
Some people might think that I just have a defeatist attitude and that I'm too critical. I'm just trying to see things as they truly are, and that's where we have to get to a point. Is to see if something hasn't worked and it continues not to work, if things are still getting worse. I think we need to try something different. I'm not talking about overthrow or revolution, because I think the Bible clearly does not abide by that. In fact, when they call the first, what I call is the first war of independence, many mm-hmm. call the Revolutionary War. But it wasn't mm-hmm. a revolution. They weren't mm-hmm. attacking England. They were just trying to be left alone. They essentially had enough and said, we're not in this anymore. We're going to form our own country. And they just want to be left alone. Now, a revolution is when you try to overthrow the present mm-hmm. government, which is not what they did then, nor did they do it during what is called the War Between the States, which is another mm-hmm. misnomer.
Yeah, in other words, what you're indicating is they were not offensive. They were on the defense. They were defending themselves against the onslaught of the British, and they just so happened that they won. Well, Mike, let's go on to the next comment. One of the strongest detriments. Take that, and we got about 3 minutes left. So pursue that for just a moment.
Okay. One of the strongest detriments to liberty is the subjective attitude of denial. Some people will never acknowledge reality because they choose to see the world through rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. Sentimentality and emotion is their guide rather than facts. I always go back to this because I was at a point myself that I had to face the unvarnished, painful truth. Facing the truth can be unpleasant. And that's why many never do it. They will never face the fact. They cannot or will not bring themselves to the point to where they recognize that this great nation, or at least once great nation, has lost its way and is not what it used to be. That's denial.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
just, and you see it all the time, they have a allegiance to a country that no longer exists, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I don't say that lightly. And it's saying that is enough to have some people go into a rage. I dare you say that this country is not what it used to be, or that it's not the greatest country on earth. Well, I just think that sentimentality and emotions mm-hmm. are guiding their thinking rather than facing the facts.
Yes, I do too, Mike. Well, listen, we're about out of time, so why don't you wrap this up by just saying to our listening audience, the live listening audience, and those that will be online with us through iTunes later, just say anything you want to in terms of wrapping this up, and we'll see you again then next Monday if the creek doesn't rise.
Okay, well, I'm just looking at the very next thing on the notes that you sent us,
mm-hmm.
which were mainly quotes from the book. And it says it will take courage, knowledge, determination, and prayer to change the disastrous direction in which our country is headed.
Mm-hmm.
It will take all of those things. The reason I put courage first is because it's a fearful thing to recognize that things are dreadfully wrong and we need to do something about it. And, of course, then it takes knowledge. The people who don't recognize that we are in desperate straits, I believe, are just ignorant of the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is constantly distracting us with the insanity that is on that boob tube. And I think a lot of things that go on that are publicized are distractions as well, that are promulgated by the government. And we have to have determination, because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be it's not going to happen overnight. We're going to have tenacity. We have to be so firm in our belief that our rights come from God, and I dare anyone, government or otherwise, to infringe upon their rights and think that they can do it carte blanche and get by with it.
Sure.
And then, of course, behind that, we have to have that prayer, because everything that we do, everything that we think, should be in alignment with God and His Word, and we have to check that. We have to know it. And the pastors aren't teaching this. The people don't know it, and so we continue to spiral further and further as a society into degeneracy, and we keep losing more and more freedoms as the people they believe the lie that the government mm-hmm. is just doing these things for our own good and for mm-hmm. the children, and I think that's a crock.
Well, Mike, in terms of that statement, it will take courage, knowledge, determination, and prayer. That's what? Tell us, in wrapping this up, who is to have the courage? Who is to have knowledge? Who is to have determination? Who is to pray? Because what I want people to see is that this is far beyond the pastor teacher. So who is the who in all those?
It's each individual. It's every believer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying believers because I think probably everyone on your this are believers. But even unbelievers can make these distinctions, and they can put forth the effort to resist evil. Because
sure.
so many things that are happening today, I would characterize as evil. And it's their responsibility. If they don't do it, then it's not going to be done. And so many, close with this. So many believers today think because of a misconstruction of Romans 13 and a misunderstanding what the Bible says about these issues
mm-hmm.
are not doing anything, which means they're putting this onus on the back of unbelievers. And first of all, God certainly isn't going to approve of that. And what would unbelievers think of believers if they say, we're too high and mighty to do
sure.
this. We can't get down in the trenches and dirty our hands. We're just going to leave it up to you unbelievers to take care of this issue.
Yeah.
So it takes every individual person, and I would say especially believers.
Sure. Well, in closing, Mike, let's go down this list right now. Danny and Candace Schultz are from your church. Is that correct? From Country
That's
Bible
correct.
Church? Ed Hall's band is.
Danny.
Yeah, okay. And Ed Hall's band is from Easton, Maryland. And he is a friend of ours, and he's a part of my Little Rock Net Church. Janet is my wife in the house. And I'm not sure, I don't know who Catherine Kennedy is. Is she with you?
Yes, she goes to our church as well.
Okay, and Keith Twiggs is from the Country Bible Church. Lenora Johnson is from BB, Arkansas, and she's with me at the Little Rock Net Church. And I don't know, Lionel Marmon, is he from your church?
No, he doesn't go to our church, but he's a friend with some of the folks that do go
to our church. Okay, wonderful. And Louise Robinson is from Alexandria, Arkansas, and she is from with our church. And, of course, you're Mike Smith, the pastor of a Country Bible Church. And Rich and Margaret, I guess they're with you also?
They don't go to my church, but they're good friends. And
excellent.
What I would like to see is there, for the people that are here, just this small group,
sure.
that get the word out and say, hey, there's something on Monday mornings at 9 o'clock that is imperative. It's so important. Thank
yes.
you that you would get something out of it and like it, and just keep telling people about it, and that's another thing that they can do. That is,
sure.
if they think it's worthwhile, they need to tell
sure.
the people, give them the website,
yeah.
see what happens.
And Mike, if they obviously they're able to get the link, they've gotten the link somewhere along the line, but the link will always be the same. It's the one link that you sent, and the password is doctrine. We don't plan on changing that. So if you want to log in, you've got friends, you can just forward that link to anybody with that password, and they can log on every Monday at 9 o'clock with us. Listen, buddy, God bless you, and thank you so much for your time today. We'll look forward to next Monday if the creek doesn't rise, okay?
Thank you very much for having me on, Dr. Jim.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye, folks. Going to stop the recording, and we'll have it up on iTunes just shortly, okay? Bye-bye now. I'm going to close out the meeting.